Welcome to the October edition of KVNF's monthly Delta County Commissioner's Report. I'm Felix Belmont. Today, our guest is Mr. Doug Ashley, 1st District Commissioner. Doug, welcome.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, Mr. Belmont.
Let me start by asking you about a press report that on October 3rd, the commissioners were scheduled to vote on a new ordinance that would establish the Delta County Health Department as the office where applications for a septic system permit for a structure in the county, anywhere in the county, will be made. As I understand it, this new ordinance changes the four-step process an applicant must go through in getting the necessary permits to build a new house or other building. So would you please explain this?
Well, the ordinance, the regulation has been in effect already. It was a change, and I can't remember when the change was done, where we're following state statute, where the new septic system or wastewater treatment facility follows state statute. And that requires an engineered septic system, particularly on a new or a rebuild of one. This particular ordinance that we looked at on Monday, the October 3rd, was only to change the direction and the sequence in which people would get their permit. And we moved it from originally, approximately 6 months or a year ago, when it was originally adopted, so that people would start with the planning department. And since then, due to our experience, we decided that we would change the procedure back to the health department, where they start first to get the septic permit. And that's really all this is about. The actual regulation has been in effect for quite some time.
Oh, I didn't understand it that way.
Right, yeah. And that's what happened on Monday. We had the second reading, and then we'll proceed and at our next meeting, and all that'll do is change where people start the process. And we did that so that there wouldn't be as confusion that we've had in the last period of time since we originally adopted the ordinance, or the regulation, I should say.
Well, I didn't quite understand it. I thought it was a new thing.
Well, it is relatively new, but it has already been in effect. And it's, I want to say 6 months or a year, as I recall, that it's already been happening.
Which brings me up to make me think of this thing that we still don't have, or I should put this in the form of a question. Do we or do we not have building permits in this county?
We do not.
We still do not.
We do not. But what we do have is we follow this wastewater treatment system or a septic tank. We do have that regulation. And then people still have to follow the state electrical code and the state plumbing code.
Right.
So what we're lacking is the rest of the building, so to speak.
And we still don't have zoning as such.
We do not. Yeah, we're still operating under our subdivision regulations and also under specific development regulations. So we do not have
zoning. I remember in the past at times this would come up. I haven't really heard much about it lately, but there was a time when it was some people thought we should have zoning, some people, and so on, you know.
Well, probably our next, what we're going to take on next would be the update of the county's master plan, which has not been updated since 1996. And that process will happen first, and then once we get that accomplished, then we can talk about these other two items.
Right. If you just happened to join us a few minutes after the beginning of the program, this is the KVNF's monthly Delta County Commissioner's Report, and today we're talking with 1st District Commissioner Mr. Doug Ashley. Doug, last month, the Town Council of Crawford took the first steps to set up a neighborhood watch program in that community. I don't recall ever discussing neighborhood watch programs or organizations before on this program, although I believe they exist in various places all over the country. How does such a program work? Who is normally involved? Are they effective? And how widespread are these organizations in Delta County? Would you give us a whole rundown on this Neighborhood Watch thing is what I'm really asking you to do.
Well, these have been in existence for a long time, these concepts, and they seem to go in cycles as to how neighborhoods want to operate. And the issue in Crawford is that, it's a long way from the sheriff's department. And so the neighbors, the people have decided that, you know, they will try to help each other and watch out for each other's property and for each other, actually. Mm-hmm. And so all it is a neighborhood watch program where people are just more observant about what's going on. And so I think it's great that communities want to do this and people in neighborhoods want to do this, and all it just boils down to they're just looking out for their neighbor and what's going on there. And I think that's a good use of people's time.
Now, do other towns or parts of the county have this too?
Some neighborhoods do in all parts of the county, and like I say, sometimes they go real strong for a few years and then it kind of wanes and then they're started up somewhere else. But people are free to establish these watch programs if they so desire, and they would work in conjunction with the sheriff's office.
I take it the people working on it, probably it's voluntary, right?
It's voluntary.
Yeah, it's not a paid thing.
No, not at all. And they work with either the sheriff's department or with their local police department if they have one. And all it is people looking out for other people because the law enforcement agencies cannot be all places at all times. So it's just more eyes on the ground.
Now, how much authority do these people working in the thing have? I mean, suppose they do see something that's suspicious or whatever. What authority do they have to act? Or suppose they actually encounter someone who is trying to steal a car or something. Do they, because they're in Neighborhood Watch, do they have any legal authority or
no.
How does it work?
No, what they would do if they observed something like that is they would call whatever their local law enforcement agent is, and then they would become a material witness to whatever act was going on. But I don't think anyone in the county is encouraging anyone to try to stop a crime that's in process or whatever. It's more of a notification process to let law enforcement know that there's something going on there that shouldn't be, whatever it may be, whether it's a minor theft or something more serious.
Do you know, have we had instances where they really did encounter something like that?
I can't recall a specific one, but I know in the past there probably has been instances where, whatever it might be, people observe that, and sometimes they don't know what to do with it. So they can always call 911 and report, you know, something that if it's particularly a serious situation, law enforcement should be notified.
Yeah.
But this is more neighbors helping neighbors and watching out for their neighbor and what's going on in their neighborhood. And so I think that's just normal of how.
Oh, I think it's a great idea. It's just I had heard of it, heard the name, but as I say, we've never discussed it on this program,
right.
And I haven't really seen much about it anywhere else until this came up.
It's something that's happened across the nation and in Colorado, and here again, people are free to try to form it, and some areas do it all the time, some never do it. It's just up to the people what they want to do.
Okay. At the commissioner's session on October 3rd, just this week, it's my understanding that you heard a presentation about a state program called C-PACE that encourages owners of commercial properties to install energy and water-saving devices in their buildings. Would the state provide financing for such a program? How would it affect the county's building permitting process? So would you tell us about this? I believe you got directly involved in the conversation on this thing, according to the papers. So I'm sure you're fully familiar with it. So, but it's something that I would suspect that a lot of people, including myself, if you just said C-PACE, wouldn't know what they were talking about. So, sure. So tell us about it.
Well, my involvement and the other commissioner's involvement was more one of asking questions to see what the program was about also. There was a very wonderful presentation about what the program involved, and what we were trying to do is just for us to gain more knowledge of the program, whether it be a heating system or new windows or a new roof or whatever might be approved by the commission that's been set up to kind of administer this program. So we did have quite a lengthy conversation, mostly question and answers about what the program involved. And I think what we left with as commissioners is that we would like to, and we are going to set up another work session with the group so that they can do a little more research and we can think about a few more questions to ask. The financing, as I understand it from that conversation, still would come from either an investor group that has been willing to make these type of loans and or commercial banks if they choose to do that. And that's one of the questions we ask is of the local financial institutions who has been contacted and asked if they would like to be involved in this. And the uniqueness of this program allows property tax on these improvements to be collected over, I think, as I recall, a 20-year period by the county assessor, which would mean that, you know, you could automatically, if you qualify for this program and you wanted to do, say, a heating upgrade that got approved, you could spread the cost of that project over up to 20 years.
So this would be separate from your regular property tax?
It would be like a special improvement district. So this program, the way the legislation occurred, makes a statewide special improvement district, which is voluntary if you opt in. If you don't opt in, there's as a county or as an individual property owner, there's no special assessment. But if you do, if the county opts in and you decide you want to, say, improve your heating system with either whatever, you know, or new windows or new roof or whatever gets approved, then you opt in voluntarily and you agree to have a special assessment on your property to pay for these improvements. That's the basis of how it works. And so for that, because it is a special improvement district, the assessor of the county would be involved and also the treasurer to collect the taxes and do the assessment. And for that, the county would receive a 1% fee. And so that's kind of the basis of the program. And our conversation on Monday with the representation of this group was, you know, trying to understand the program more. And so based on our discussion, what we agreed to do is have more conversations based on some of the questions that were asked, and we'll see what becomes of it. But I think, if I recall, there's approximately 6 or 7 counties in Colorado that have adopted this, and there's probably 10 to 15 more right now that are considering it. And that's the essence of the program.
And the money would come from the state?
No, it would come from private investors.
I didn't catch it. That part I didn't catch. Explain that.
Apparently, the commissioners were told that there's a group of investors that would be willing to say you wanted to remodel your, and I'm speaking of commercial buildings here.
Yeah, this is for commercial. This does not apply to private homes.
No.
At the present time.
Right. And that's the way it was explained to the commissioners. Right. But you wanted to upgrade your heating system, or you needed new windows, or you needed a new roof or whatever. There's private investors that are willing to loan money under this program where the repayment comes through an assessment on your property, just like any other special district does right now. So that would guarantee them cash flow back to pay the loan off. It could be a bank. It could be a private investor of some kind. And those are some of the details we need to know more about, but that's what we know so far. So what that would mean is that if you sold the property during the life of one of these loans, that special assessment would still be applicable to that property.
So the new buyer would have to take this on.
And yes, and would have to be, you know, told up front that this assessment is there and to be expected.
And they would be, if they bought the property, they would be responsible or liable for the assessment, for paying the assessment.
Yes, because it's going to end up as a special, like a special assessment district. So therefore, it's part of your tax bill. It's broken out how much it is. And if it's not paid, then it becomes a lien.
I'm just sort of curious, were you aware of, or has there been any reaction, pro or con, from the real estate fraternity on this?
Not yet. No one has said much yet.
I can sort of see, like, this is kind of a sleeping bomb, so to speak. I mean, I can just see where some real estate people would object to it.
Well, I'm not sure. You know, if you
need, I don't know.
If you need a new roof and this is a mechanism that you can do it over a longer period of time,
it's a good thing.
It may be all right. We don't know. You know, we're still asking questions to try to sort all this out, and it's new to Colorado, and so it's not widely known yet. But that was part of the discussion on Monday, is to try to understand it better. And from not only from the commissioner's standpoint, but also what kind of additional responsibility does that put on the county treasurer or the county assessor? And, you know, what are the fees? And we were told that the fees to the county is 1%, and there's a 2% fee back to the state for this, but the state itself would not be putting up the money. And so those are all things that we're trying to understand as far as the program goes.
Now, how do these investors putting up the money, how do they get paid? I mean, where?
Well, or
am I missing something?
No, you're not. When the taxes are paid, just, you know, the county has some that goes to the regular county taxes, some to special districts, and they would get paid out of the special district tax.
Okay.
And that amount of that payment would be determined up front based on the amount that someone would be borrowing. And that's another question we have that hasn't been answered yet, but it will. Okay, what would be the final rate on this and how does it get paid? And then another thing that we're not clear on yet is, okay, taxes are normally paid once a year. Commercial loans are normally paid monthly, so how does that work? And we don't have all those answers yet.
And the supplier of the service would want to be paid reasonably promptly, I would think.
I would think, yes.
So
yes.
That's
so normally taxes are, you know, paid at a certain time of the year. You have a window to pay them, so we'd have to work that out too. So
bottom line, it sounds like a lot of paperwork, but I think it's a wonderful idea, don't get me wrong. But administratively, it could be a nightmare, I can see.
Yeah, we're not sure how all that works yet, and that's why we're asking more questions. So that's what you now know what we know.
Well, as you may have noticed, there was an article in this week's paper about it. It was something a little different.
Well, I haven't looked at it yet, so I don't know what it says.
Well, I'm like, wasn't it Will Rogers? All I know is what I read in the papers. I think that was a quote from him years ago. That's the first thing I look at on the first Wednesday of every month, the first thing I look at is the local paper to see what we're going to talk about.
And what Delta County will do is we'll probably touch base with the counties that have already opted in, yeah, or with at least some of them, and we'll also touch base with counties that are considering it and say, okay, what is your understanding and what have we missed here? And so we've got a ways to go yet.
Sure. Well, I think basically it sounds like a great idea, and I hope that nonprofits can qualify as well as commercial companies, because we're looking at possibility of a new roof on this building for KBNF.
Well, and when you think about some of the age of our buildings in Delta County,
yeah, I'm sure
there's probably many upgrades that people need, but oftentimes, how do you finance those is the question. And so I think it's worth looking at. Hope that's helpful.
It's a beginning.
Okay, a beginning. Let's put it that way.
No, I don't mean to be facetious about it. It's a complicated issue, obviously.
Yes.
But I think it's something that we could well talk about in months to come.
And I agree.
As there are new developments in it. Because it's certainly an interesting program.
Yeah, and you know, it's been passed in the state and made available to counties, so that's something we want to look at.
Yeah. Well, Doug, I just want to ask you this as we draw toward the close of this year, which has had some rather remarkable developments. How does the county stand? I mean, for instance, the coal thing. As you look back over the year, and I believe the county operates on a calendar year.
We do.
Yeah, not a fiscal year.
We do.
There's still 2 months to go, obviously. But how is the county made out with the... Well, I guess there's been a reduction in severance taxes, for instance, and,
yes,
and so on. So how is the county doing?
We're doing okay. Some of those revenues that you're alluding to, Mr. Belmont, are a lag basis. So we haven't seen the full effects of some of those revenue declines.
Okay, that's a very interesting point.
And neither has the state of Colorado. There's several sources that we would look at, and one would be severance taxes, one would be federal mineral leasing as examples of what potentially could go down. The other one is payment in lieu of taxes, which comes from the federal government. And that is a year-to-year program in Congress, and so there's no assurance that that's going to be approved next year or the next. And so we're always wary of payment in lieu of taxes, commonly referred to as PILT. And that's a big part of Delta County's budget. So I would say we're managing pretty well for 2016. I think the concern is really 2017 and 2018, as we look and know that there are going to be diminishing revenues. And to get ready for this, there's one thing that I always keep stating, and that is the debt of the county, or commonly referred to as how leveraged is the county. And we're in a very good situation because we're not very...
Well, we have a history of not being leveraged, right?
Correct.
For any substantial amount.
In recent years, that is true. And so when you don't have to pay, we're just like a private person. When you don't have debt to service, that helps with your cash flow. Mm. And we have one debt right now through our landfill, the county landfill. They bought a loader, a new compactor. And that's on a, as I recall, a five-year term. And the thing about the landfill is an enterprise fund, which all that means is it's accounted for and run separately, and they have their own revenue source. And so they're servicing the payments on there out of their tipping fees at the landfill. Other than that, aside from accounts payable, the county is debt-free. So I think that's the number one huge thing that we have to look at going forward. We're not having to look at, okay, how are we going to service debt? The other thing is, over the last 2 or 3 years at least, we've been very frugal in replacing positions. And so our overall, when we talk about our employees, we measure that in terms of full-time equivalents. Even though someone may work part-time or whatever, we measure it on a full-time equivalent basis. Our FTE numbers have continued to decline because we've made each department, when someone leaves, account for why they need the new person. So the result of that, people have retired. They've chosen to move to other jobs. We haven't had terminations or layoffs per se, but we've looked at refilling those positions as how would we combine duties or how could we share duties or a lot of that thing. And so we're saving money in that area also. So that's very important.
Well, I venture to say that a lot of people in the county hardly or fully appreciate how unique we are in being debt-free, because there are many other places that are not. There was a thing on the news just, I forget whether it was last night or this morning, about Grand Junction was really suffering from a lower income due to all these factors and so on. And I venture to say there are other counties that do have debt, probably.
Well, and make no mistake, we're feeling the impact of the decline of the energy industry, just like Mesa County is, Garfield, yeah. Rio Blanco,
but
Moffitt.
We can absorb it, at least up to a point.
We've been able to do that so far, and just a couple other points along that. We've monitored, for example, our sales tax receipts over all of 2016, and we've been relatively flat. The last month, the sales tax revenues were less, slightly less, and that not only impacts the county, but that impacts the municipalities within the county, the cities that have sales tax. And so I think so far we're encouraged that that is relatively flat. What that'll look like in 2017 remains to be seen. And not only that, but we've also monitored sales of property. And that too has been relatively flat, with a little bit of upgrowth in the Cedar Ridge area and also in the North Fork area. We've seen real estate sales. Nothing like you've seen on the Front Range, but that is different than the last energy crash, in which we had a decline in not only energy, but agriculture and real estate, all three at the same time in the early 80s. And so far, that's not been true this time. But like I said, the proof is not in yet. 17 and 18 will really be where we will look at our revenues even more intensely than we have now.
Well, we can explore this further as time
It's
goes
an out. Ongoing thing.
An ongoing thing. So,
yes.
Well, I'm glad you said that ongoing thing, so you won't object to my reverting to it in future conversations.
Absolutely not, because there's some services that the county or government in general provides to citizens that are absolutely necessary. For example, we talked about law enforcement. You know, it's hard not to have protection for the people and many other services that we provide. So you kind of have to start saying, okay, where, if revenue continues to decline, where is it that we're going to control our expenses so that we can still deliver most of the services that people have come to expect?
We've been talking today with Mr. Doug Ashley on this October edition of the Delta County Commissioner's Report, and we'll be reporting, as usual, in the early days of each month to follow. We will not have this program due in December, but we'll be back with you in November and then again in January. And for KVNF, I'm Felix Belmont.